Let me pray for us as we start the service. Lord God, we come into church knowing that worshipping you is a right and proper thing to do, but not always easy. So we pray, Lord, that you would be working amongst us by your Spirit. Yeah, higher. That you would be helping us to draw close to you as you are already close to us. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So there are one or two COVID things that we have to do. In a moment, I'm going to invite you to stand for our first hymn, but I'm afraid not sing. So like I said, always, what goes on between you and your mask, I'm not interested in at all. But would you like to stand? We're going to sing, I Will Sing the Wondrous Story. Because actually in baptism, it's the beginning of, stand and not sing. I will sing. Doesn't quite work, does it? But baptism is the start of a journey of faith. And this is a song that looks all the way across that journey of faith to where it's headed, home to God. So would you like to stand in church? Would you like to sing out at home? Now, I'm just seeing Ashley running around the front here. It was actually probably about a year ago that I did the baptism visit to these guys to sort of talk them through what goes on at a baptism, the kind of things that we're doing. So, Janine, Craig, I'm afraid to say we're going to have to do a reminder right here and right now, and we're going to have to do it in public. It's terrible when that kind of thing happens. So I thought we would do it in the style of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? I don't know if you recall that show from a long time ago with newer versions recently, but baptism points to new life here. Who wants to be a millionaire? Right, I bet you weren't expecting that this morning, but you are the contestants. Congratulations, you got through this. But don't forget, this show has lifelines. So if you don't know the answers, the 50-50 will take away two wrong answers. The phone a friend means that you get to pick somebody in church or on the screen, and we'll put them on the spot instead of you. And the ask the audience, we'll get a show of hands who reckons which is the right answer. So when I do the baptism visits, normally I leave people with a copy of one of the Gospels. I think I might have left you with a copy of Luke's Gospel when we met. Was it? Oh, it was. Excellent. Excellent. So you've just given away all excuses now. It contains a series of stories that Jesus told about lost things, a lost sheep, a lost coin, and what else? Was it A, a lost son, B, a lost daughter, C, a lost father, or D, a lost cat? What do you reckon? They haven't done phone a friend yet, and I'm not sure if they're friends over there. Okay, then we're going to go 50-50. Keith, can we go 50-50? There we go. Is it a lost son or a lost cat? Right, okay, we're going to go with a lost son. Yes, it's the right answer. We should have left a nice long pause there, the way Chris Tarrant used to. The point is that Christian faith sees everyone a little bit like this, whether young like Ashley or older like some of us. Christian faith sees us as a beloved son or daughter who's left the family, gone off their own way, lost their way, and we see God as a loving father, waiting, looking out for us, longing for us to come home to him. Okay. Well, we've got the next question already. Okay, so full immersion baptism represents going down into the water, dying to your old self, and rising back up to new life. But we're doing sprinkling baptisms today, small font of water up the front. What is the primary symbolism of a baptism involving sprinkling water on somebody's head? So A, is it the flow of God's love? Is it B, being washed clean? Is it C, water is abundant, like God's generosity? Or is it drip, 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 like a horror avoided? I think it's B, being washed clean. Keith, let's skip straight to the answer. Won't keep them in any agony there, because it's all right, even if you get them wrong, I'll still do the baptism. So don't, Relax, yes. Okay, so the third, where was I? Yes, in the story of that prodigal son who is welcomed home by God, destitute and hungry, the son finds himself in a desperate situation before he comes home. He's hungry, he's mucking out the pigs, and for those first listeners, they were all Jewish. So the idea of getting to the point where you're mucking out the pigs is just about the most degrading thing that you could possibly do. Dirty in the mud, dirty work, dirty compared to their ideas about holiness. And so we all need to be washed clean. And that's the symbolism of this kind of baptism, spiritually to be washed clean. Okay, you've seen the question. It's up there on the screen. The next one, the water in the font. Where does it come from? Is it A, the River Jordan, B, the River Dee, C, Lake Galilee, or D, St. Winifred's Well in Holywell? What do you reckon? Are you sure you don't want to, I reckon you should probably phone a friend there. Pick anyone you like and we'll put them on the spot. Right, I'd use another lifeline if I were you. I'd use another lifeline. It's all right, I'll let you reuse lifelines if you like. Sorry? The last lifeline. It's ask the audience, so I'll get everyone to put their hands up and... sorry? Okay, so I'd like everyone in church and... Maybe Keith, if we can stop the screen share for a moment, we'll go back to it in a moment so we can see as many people's cameras online as well. No, don't do that. Do the red stop share. There we are. That's it. So we can see as many cameras as possible online. Give a wave. Okay, these guys are going to be looking out. Give a wave if you think you see the right answer. What was the first one? A, the River Jordan. Anyone think it's the River Jordan? There's a few hands that have come up. Anyone? B was the River Dee. Anyone think it's the River Dee? There's a few more, quite a few hands have come up here. Anyone? Yes, there's some people waving online as well. C was Lake Galilee. Anyone going for Lake Galilee? And anyone going for St. Winifred's Well in Holywell? There's a few people there, a few hands up there. Right, I leave it with you. The whole point, Paul, is that all the water in all our taps around here comes from the River Dee. So it is in fact the River Dee. All the water in Chester is extracted from the River Dee and purified before we use it. The point is that what we're doing this morning with that water is not some kind of magic ritual with special water. Special water is not required. But what we are doing in baptism is something that the church calls a sacrament. It means it's a sign that changes things. Imagine a cake. A cake is just a cake. But if you put a candle in the top of the cake, it becomes a birthday cake. Yeah. And similarly, Ashley's just a girl, but baptize her and she becomes a girl committed in faith to God, which is great. And it's the same for Kelly. Kelly is just an ordinary person, but actually when we baptize her, she becomes somebody committed in faith, because this is an act of faith to get baptized to God, which again is great. Two things change. God promises to be at work in our lives through the Holy Spirit. And actually in Ashley's case, she will have parents and godparents who are, we're gonna come to it later in the service, but who are gonna commit themselves to helping her to grow in faith. Okay, Keith, can we go back to the screen share of the questions? There we are with the River Dee, and the next question is coming up. So often at baptisms, we have a lit candle. We have lit candles on the communion table today. What does that candle symbolize? Is it the fire of God's love? Is it the heat of the Holy Spirit? Is it Jesus, the light of the world? Or is it fire that purifies? What do you reckon? We're going with C. They're very confidently going with C. Keith? It is C. See, because everything comes back to whether we recognize Jesus or not. When I gave them a copy of Luke's gospel, I told them to read it, asking themselves the question, is this guy the real deal? Is Jesus who he says he is? Because if he is the perfect person, the true Son of God, the light of the world, actually, we better had sit up and listen, hadn't we? That is the whole point of pointing to Jesus through the candle, being the light of the world. Keith, can we go on to the next slide, actually, rather than stop the share, because it's going to be our prayer of confession. When the prodigal son ran away, he prepared a speech that he was going to say to his father when he came home. And we're going to pray that speech, if you like, as our prayer of confession, because actually all of us, we wander off from where God wants us to be, but he will welcome us home. So confidently, we can pray together. And actually, if you're in your church, you are allowed to say prayers, even though you're not allowed to sing. So would you like to pray with me our prayer of confession? Father, we have sinned against heaven and against you. We are not worthy to be called your children. We turn to you again. Have mercy on us. Bring us back to yourself as those who once were dead, but now have life through Christ our Lord. Amen. So having prayed that prayer, having acknowledged that we wander off from God, hear the Father's attitude towards us. May the God of love and power forgive us and free us from our sins. Heal and strengthen us by his Spirit, and raise us to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen. As we think about that new life, I'm going to invite Vicky to come and read our reading for us from the Bible.
First reading is taken from Ephesians, and I'm reading from chapter 1, verses 15 to 23. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the Father's realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Vicky. Let me pray for us as we consider God's word this morning. So, Lord, we invite you by your Spirit to be at work amongst us. Lord, would you help us to hear from you, and would you help us to not just hear your call, but act on your call. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So this morning, we are in the second of a series as we are sort of having a wander through the book of Ephesians over the summer, which is why it was fine for us to start a passage with "for this reason." We'll come to what that reason is in just a moment. But as we start today, I really want us to be thinking about the question, who is in control of your life? Okay, who or what is in control of your life? And actually, as much as that, who do you want to be in control of your life? You see, the biblical book of Ephesians is all about power. There's a huge amount about power in this book, power over you. Who's in control of your life? So we could ask all kinds of questions here. Is it advertisers? you know, telling you what you should aspire to. They try to be in control of your life. Is it alcohol or drugs that literally take over people's whole lives? Is it the law, these days especially, making you isolate, telling you who you can and can't hug and where you can and can't go? Who's in control of your life? Is it a desire to fit in? I think a lot of us have that to an extent, to fit in, to be liked, to be accepted as a person. Or even slightly more painful to think about, is it the need to be needed? Again, a lot of us have that. I need to be needed to make my life worthwhile. And it's a sort of control. Is it a drive to succeed and make a difference? A strong power that can either be a good thing or a bad thing. Works both ways, that one, doesn't it? Is it money, desire for more, or the lack of it? Does that dictate your life? Is it people like me? Preachers and the church? Am I some kind of puppet master pulling all the strings in your life? I seriously hope not, for all of your sakes. From the outside, actually, it's probably far easier to tell who's in control of your life, far easier to tell who has power over you than it is from the inside. Because as we are on the inside looking out of our own lives, we tell ourselves a story that sounds fantastic, don't we? We pat ourselves on the back. We tell ourselves we're ruled by the good things, the desire to be kind and compassionate, to help others, to be honest, to be reliable. We tell ourselves the story. But what is it that fills your waking moments? Actually, forget your waking moments. What is it that fills your dreams? So I have a friend. I have a friend who is, on the one hand, intelligent, yes, definitely, and well off. But on the other hand, utterly bored and disillusioned. Not that he would put it that way, but he cannot leave a job that he hates because he needs the income to fund his world traveling, to follow a particular football club and a particular national rugby team. He's done a calculation. It's a price that he's willing to pay. His tedious working life for his sports fan lifestyle. Who rules his life? Now, obviously, it's easier to be brutally honest about it looking in from the outside like I do, but he would probably look at my life in pretty much the same kind of way. So don't hear me being critical of him. He's made a calculation. But who rules his life? Who rules my life? The city of Ephesus in the ancient world was a place of power. Power as the center of Roman control over their province of Asia, and power as the center of the Diana or Artemis cult with the Seven Wonders of the World temple, both of which we thought a bit about last week. In this passage today, the Apostle Paul is saying something completely different. He is saying, forget Roman power, forget the power of the Diana cult. We have our own Diana cult these days, don't we? But forget that. He's saying there is a far superior power. Today's reading, as I said, started for this reason. For what reason? Because of last week's reading. The apostles just let flow this gush of praise for the blessings that God has given us, connected to what God has done in the past, choosing ancient Israel, freeing them from slavery, and giving them the promised land as an inheritance. But also his gush of praise for God, connected to what God is doing in the present and will do in the future, choosing us together with those who believe in Jesus, making us right before God through Jesus, and making us fit for our future inheritance. Jesus' future, heaven and earth, perfect unity. It's all going somewhere. It doesn't stop in the present, it goes somewhere. This heaven and earth unity that God has for us in the future. For this reason, the apostle thanks God for the faith of the Ephesian believers, because they have chosen to become a part of this. For this reason, He prays that they will receive the Holy Spirit so that the eyes of their heart might be enlightened. So because of what God has done and because of what God is doing, he prays that they will receive the Holy Spirit. But for what purpose? For what purpose does the apostle want them to receive the Holy Spirit? So they know their hope. They know their goal, the perfect life in God's recreated perfect heaven and earth unity. So they know their goal, and so they have power. God's power for those who believe. So we need to think about what it is that he's really asking for. What is it that the Holy Spirit does for us? Gives knowledge and gives power. And what kind of knowledge and what kind of power are we talking about? There are just a few examples. Holy Spirit gives us knowledge. Knowledge that Jesus is Lord of all and that he loves us. That's a supernatural knowledge, to know that you are loved by God in Jesus. And he gives us power to believe it and to accept it. The Holy Spirit gives us knowledge, knowledge of right and wrong through our consciences. And he gives us power to be transformed by our conscience as it does its work. What does the Holy Spirit do for us? Knowledge, knowledge of Jesus's sacrifice for us. He gave his life, perfect as it was, for us and ours, imperfect though they are, the perfect for the imperfect. He gives us knowledge of that. He gives us power to accept that swap. He died to set me free. He died to set you free too. Gives us knowledge. Knowledge of the hurts, the longings, and the needs of those around us. Helps us to look out at everything that's going on around us and power to do something about it. Gives us knowledge of God's plan for our lives. God has a plan for your life. And through the Holy Spirit, you can know that plan. Power to follow his lead. It's not easy. We've already thought about how many other people, forces, whatever, want to have power over your life. Knowledge of God's plan and power to follow his lead. Knowledge as a vision of our heavenly inheritance, where all this is going. And power to confidently live that future reality. In baptism, we are praying that for Ashley. We're praying that she will receive the Holy Spirit in her lifetime to give her that knowledge of the good things God has for her. And the power to follow. So what about you? Who rules your life? Who rules your life? We've got a little football crazy at the moment. It feels as if football rules our lives right now, does it not? I just want to say on the record, in case there's any doubt, let me assure you, the world, this is going to be the most controversial thing I'm going to say this morning, okay? The world doesn't implode if England lose this evening. And the world doesn't take on new meaning if England win this evening. It would be nice. It would be fun. It would last a lifetime in people's memories. But actually, the wake up and the shake up of the Holy Spirit lasts forever. The knowledge and power that the Holy Spirit gives gently at work in you lasts forever. Who controls your life? Will you trust only yourself? Look to only the resources that you can bring to the table, limited as your experience and outlook is? Or will you trust your creator? That's the question. Don't trust me. Don't even trust the church as an institution. Trust God. Ask, like the apostle does here, for the Holy Spirit, that same glorious, death-defying power that raised Jesus from the dead, that power to be at work in your life. And receive knowledge and power for living in the present as we wait for that hope to be fulfilled. So in a moment, not quite yet, but in a moment, we're going to come to the baptisms. We are going to be doing exactly what the apostles are doing in this passage. We're going to pray for the Holy Spirit to come. One of the oldest prayers of the church is Veni Sancti Spiritus, come Holy Spirit. And in the liturgy we'll use, we'll pray that those baptized in this water may be cleansed in the water of life and filled with God's Holy Spirit. First, let me pray for all of us in this. Lord, we know that you long to give us that knowledge of you through your Holy Spirit and the power to follow. Lord, help each and every one of us to be open to what you want to do in our lives. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I'm going to invite John to come. He's going to lead us in our prayers. We're going to continue in prayer.
Okay, let's join our hearts in prayer together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that our prayers are precious to you. For you have said that your church is a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And so, Lord, that enables us to come before you with confidence that you hear and answer our prayers. So, Lord, we pray for the unity of the church in witness and proclamation of the gospel. Grant us, Lord, a renewed confidence in the power of the gospel to save and transform lives here in this parish. Lord, fill us again with the knowledge and power of your Holy Spirit so that we may live and work for your glory. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, as we think of COVID-19, we are so grateful for all the parts of our community that have worked to sustain us through the pandemic. For hospitals, schools, shops, for all the volunteers who've led the vaccination program, and many others, Lord, we give you thanks. And Lord, at this time, we pray especially for our Prime Minister and all the members of the government, local and national, as they guide us through the final stage of the road out of lockdown. But Lord, there is much fear and disagreement about the way ahead, with cases rising and people's concern of the dangers of catching COVID-19. Keep us, good Lord, under the shadow of your mercy, and place this nation on the right track, the road that leads to well-being for all. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, with great joy, we lift up before you our baptismal candidates today. We pray for Ashley, asking for your hand of blessing to rest upon her all the days of her life. And as she grows up, may she hear and love the stories of Jesus and grow in the knowledge of you. Please be with her and her parents, Janine and Craig. We also pray for Kelly, thanking you that through the Alpha Course, she has been on the journey that leads to new life in Christ. And now, Lord, may Christ dwell in her heart through faith so that she may be rooted and grounded in your love. Bless her and her home and family today. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. So let's conclude our prayers this morning by praying for anyone who is particularly on your heart this morning. This could be anyone at all that you think is the need of the touch of God upon their lives. I'm just going to pause for the moment just to allow you to recall a person that needs God's touch. Lord God, whose Son, Jesus Christ, understood people's fear and pain before they spoke of them, we pray for those we have named before you this morning, for those who are sick in body, mind, or spirit, that they may know your power to heal and to help them in their troubles. We remember especially before you the Poyser family, as they recover from COVID-19, asking for your blessing on Clive, Lou, Eve, and Lydia. We thank you, Lord, that we can say with faith, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, John. So we are going to move to the baptism. Would it be possible for somebody just to mention to the in the Sunday school room, Mike, can you do that for me? Just to tell them that we're about to do the baptism in case anyone is ready and wants to come through. See what's going on. Why not? So we are doing sort of two different starts to the baptism here. The baptism ends up being exactly the same, but for small children and for adults, it's a little bit different the way we get there. So we're going to start off with Ashley. And when we come to baptize children, first of all, I ask the church some questions. Then I ask the parents and the godparents some questions. And then we get to the point where they say, yes, we're ready for this. Let's go for it. So first of all, questions that end up directed to the church. So if everyone can answer, that would be great. Because Jesus said, let the children come to me. Do not stop them. So we thank God for Ashley this morning, who's come to be baptized. Christ loves her and welcomes her into his church. So I'm going to ask everyone in church, the words are there on the screen, the yellow words are yours. Everyone here in church, will you support Ashley as she begins her journey of faith?
Amen. We will.
Will you help her to live and grow within God's family?
Amen. We will.
And again, every time I do a baptism visit, I stress the point, the church takes this very seriously. We're in and out of schools doing assemblies. Mostly we're out of schools doing video assemblies these days. But nonetheless, we're trying to do that. We are, we have the junior church going on and everyone's come back through now to see the baptisms, which is great. And that goes on. So actually the church is very serious about we will do our part in helping her to grow in faith. Of course, we've got Kids Alive this afternoon. That kind of thing is all about helping children to grow in faith. And we look for the same kind of commitment from parents and godparents. So God knows each of us by name and we are his. So I've got some questions for parents and godparents. Do Ashley's, Craig, Janine and godparents, would you like to stand up for a moment? Would that be all right? And Paige, you can come and be a part of this as well if you want to. That's great. Yeah, fantastic. So parents and godparents, you speak for Ashley today. Will you pray for her and help her to follow Christ? We thank God for Ashley, who's come to be baptized today. Christ loves her and welcomes her into his church. Will you support her on her journey of faith? And just a quick note to the godparents, supporting her on her journey of faith, if these guys don't do it, it's your job to give them a kick. Just to make that really clear, everybody knows now. Good, would you like to sit down? For an adult coming to baptism, obviously it's slightly different. I spoke to Kelly and I said, would you like to say a few words about your journey of faith so far on Sunday morning? And it took her approximately probably about a tenth of a second to say, you must be joking, or words to the equivalent of. Something to do with public speaking and something to do with being in front of all of you, scary lot. And actually, it's not been possible to be here in church up till now with all the situation that's been going on. So, okay, fine, fair enough. So what you're getting is a very short, very potted version because I don't want to put too many words into her mouth. But this has come about out of a sense of this is the right thing to do. She asked about baptism, both for her and for her children. And I said, well, why not try Alpha, find out what it's all about first? And that's what she did. She's been finding out what it's all about. So Kelly has been coming on the Alpha course, and I think it's fair to say it's been a bit of a revelation. Hopefully that's right. realizing that God and what God and Jesus has done for us, and seeing how it makes good sense, and finding that Bible reading and prayer gives her a sense of peace and rightness. Is that about right? Sort of getting a nod over there. So this is the start of that journey of faith for Kelly. But what faith? As we come to think about that, what I'm going to ask us to do is not just Kelly, but actually this is all of us. All of us can profess this faith. So can I just invite everyone to stand, and we're going to profess that faith with Kelly this morning that we share. So let us affirm together with Kelly, who's being baptized, our common faith in Jesus Christ. Do you believe and trust in God the Father, source of all being and life, the one for whom we exist? I believe and trust in him. Do you believe and trust in God the Son, who took our human nature, died for us, and rose again? I believe and trust in him. Do you believe and trust in God the Holy Spirit, who gives life to the people of God and makes Christ known in the world? I believe and trust in him. This is the faith of the church. This is our faith. We believe and trust in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So could everyone who is not either getting baptized or a parent or godparent, please sit down. And so we come to those questions, which are your opportunity to say, yeah, we signed up for this, we're going for it. We all wander far from God and lose our way. Christ comes to find us and welcomes us home. And in baptism, we respond to his call. And therefore I ask, do you turn away from sin? Do you reject evil? Do you turn to Christ as Savior? Do you trust in him as Lord? Brilliant. Ashley, do you want to bring your parents and godparents up onto the dais here? Kelly, do you want to sit down for a moment? So first, a prayer over the water, remembering that it's River Dee water, purified, okay? But that we are asking God to make it that special water of baptism for Ashley. So we praise you, loving Father, for the gift of your son, Jesus. He was baptized in the River Jordan, where your spirit came upon him and revealed him as the son you love. He sent his followers to baptize all who turned to him. And now, Father, we ask you to bless this water, that those who are about to be baptized in it may be cleansed in the water of life and filled with your spirit, that they may know they are loved as your children, safe in Christ forever. Amen. So one of the strange COVID restrictions that's going on at the moment is that I'm not allowed to touch the water. So in the instructions, it says you need to have a very fine, you know, nice big shell or something beautiful like that to do the job with. I'm afraid I don't have one of them. Do you want to hold Ashley so her head is sort of over the water? Would that be all right? So Ashley, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, that was a bit of a shock, wasn't it? But what I am allowed to do is this. Ashley, I sign you with the sign of the cross. Do not be ashamed of Christ. You are his forever. And we say together, fight, stand bravely with him against all the powers of evil and remain faithful to Christ to the end of your life. Ashley, that's our prayer for you. Let me pray for you as a family. Lord, we pray for Craig and Janine. We pray for Paige. We pray for Ashley. We pray for their extended family. We pray your blessings on them. And that as parents, as they bring up their daughters, you would help them to do that with your wisdom every day. And when it gets tough, Lord, that you'd remind them to turn to you for help. Amen.
Amen.
Brilliant. Thank you. Do you want to head back? Kelly, do you want to come up? No. Does anyone else want to come up and just be by the front supporting your mum? Excellent. Get a close look, because I understand that you're all going to be coming back later in the year for some of this. So take a good close look at what goes on.
Come back a little bit.
So, Kelly, do you want to kind of come forward nearer the water? So, Kelly, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And exactly the same, I sign you with the sign of the cross. Do not be ashamed of Christ. You are his forever. Stand bravely with him against all the powers of evil and remain faithful to Christ to the end of your life. Congratulations. And I think I'm right, it's Ava and Poppy and Henry who are with her, and we'll be seeing them later on in the year. We'll probably be seeing them before that as well. So, we've been thinking about the apostle praying for that Ephesian church, that they would receive the power and the knowledge that comes with the Holy Spirit. We're praying that as much for Ashley as we're praying it for Kelly right now, as much as we are praying that for all of us. Our closing song reminds us, the prophet Ezekiel paints a picture of the coming of God's Holy Spirit being like taking a valley full of dry bones and bringing them back to life. That's what the coming of the Holy Spirit is like, taking dry bones and bringing life into them. In a moment, we're going to praise God for what he can do, but I realize that I've forgotten to do something very important. The first part of that's what we do as a church to support people on their journey of faith after baptism is that we've got a children's Bible for Ashley and a baptism certificate. So let me give that to you. And similarly, I've got a New Testament and a baptism certificate for... So reminding ourselves of what the coming of God's Holy Spirit is like. We like to stand and not sing here in church, but sing out online this song, God is Here. May the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, establish, strengthen, and settle you in the faith. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us always. Amen.